thought what I'd do is divide ourselves into three groups and see how well the groups did. So the first group is as I'm facing you on my right side, those tables where Bonnie and Kevin are. And the second group is the Zoom group. So that's number two. And the third group is the other two tables that as I'm facing the room are on the left side of the room. Okay. And what I'm going to do is as I go along, I'll ask questions and we'll see if we can keep a rough score for the group that gets the bragging rights. All right. So I want to start with dates to keep in mind. And here's my first question. And let's put it to the group one, which again is Bonnie and Kevin's table. And group one, do you know when Washington Seminar is scheduled for 2023? Yes. Tell me. Yeah, he's got it. All right. So that somebody keep score. Ponchi, you can keep score. All right. Group one has one. Now, Zoom, how many people are on Zoom? Is that a fair group? Let's see if anybody speaks up on Zoom. What are the dates for National Convention next year? And where is it? Anybody on Zoom? Oh, you got 10. You're a big group. Dates for National Convention. And you can put it in the chat if you don't want to have to unmute. And
July 1 through 6.
For National Convention. Okay, go ahead.
July 1 through 6.
That's correct. Where is it?
Houston, Texas.
Bingo. Okay, one for group two. Oh, it's Michael. That was Michael. All right, here's a harder one. This is for group three. And what are the dates for the Jacobus Tembrick Law Symposium? That's a little more challenging. March 23rd and 24th. Now, the symposium is important to us because we do so much advocacy, and it helps build our partnerships around legal work, litigation, legislation, and advocacy. It has become the preeminent symposium for anyone in law that has to do with disability in the country. Now, I want to talk to you for a minute about the Museum of the Blind People's Movement. And just by clapping your hands, how many people have heard about the museum? Oh, good. So at least half of you. So we are embarking on the next big endeavor to change public perception. You know, we say that every day we raise expectations because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. This museum can change that dynamic. It will be housed in Baltimore, but envision traveling exhibits and virtual presence. So it won't just be in Baltimore. It'll be in Anchorage. It'll be in Fairbanks. It'll be in Chicago. We are going to unapologetically try to change the future. Now, of course, the museum will deal with the past. It'll deal with the real stories of blind people, our collectives and our movement, but we will also bring people in and help them understand our capacity. Now, this means, of course, that we need to raise money. So yours truly is helping with that. And we will need your ideas. Do you have a historian here, an archivist yet? Candy Powell. Okay. So now part of what we're going to do, Candy's probably already working on, which is collect the archives from all our affiliates. But we're already getting things for the museum. Remember Dan Parker? What did Dan Parker do? Group one. Really fast. Really, really fast. Yes. The Blind Driver Challenge, Dan Parker broke the world record for fastest blindfolded driver, just happened to be a blind guy himself. Dan became blind as a result of a racing accident, did not want to give up his racing. He is another guy that anybody should meet. He'll be at convention if you can get to National Convention next year. He has already agreed to give us his motorcycle, things off the car, and his helmet for the museum. So we're already in the process of collecting artifacts that we'll need. Sorry. Now, I want to turn to another topic at the moment, which is membership building. This is something that we've been working very hard to be deliberate about. So we've done things like developed an onboarding process. And I think I heard Bonnie mention this morning that we're going to be voting some people in today or soon. Yeah. Okay. The membership onboarding process, as you get new members, we should also be voting in those new members so that they deliberately choose to be a member and we welcome them into our affiliate. We have open houses for anyone who's considering being a member. This is a nice space where people can have the opportunity to ask all the things that they wanted to ask. Let me turn to advocacy. We have major types of advocacy we do. I always like to begin with the fact that we are really concerned to help people advocate for themselves. And I'm sorry, I keep coming off the mic. The self-advocacy toolkits that we've developed, and anybody on Zoom, can you tell us what we have these toolkits? What are the topics for some of the toolkits? We have these self-advocacy toolkits, and you can get them on our legal page. Anybody remember what some of them are about? We have self-advocacy toolkits. on our legal webpage. And I'm wondering if anybody can remember the topics for our self. I found a sock. There's a sock in the podium. Does anybody remember what the self-advocacy toolkits? Say again. All right, I'm going to open it up to any group.
There is.
So we have a higher education self-advocacy toolkit. We have a parents toolkit for online education, virtual education. And you can hit any of these toolkits off of our legal webpage, which is nfb.org/legal. Yes, yes. Good. That goes to group three. That point gets to group three. Now, I want to urge everybody to go on and check out our legal webpage because there are surveys that we're hoping you'll fill out. I see a lot of guide dog users in your affiliate. Hopefully, you are filling out the rideshare survey each time you take an Uber or a Lyft. Not just when you get denied, because I'm sure that happens. I get denied and I don't have a dog. But every time you take an Uber or Lyft, it would be helpful if you went on and filled out that survey. For those of you that are dealing with K-12 education, that's another survey once you fill out every 6 months. So you say, okay, survey, what do you do with it? Well, this is how we convinced Lyft and Uber 2 weeks ago that they still have a problem because they were saying, we fixed it. And the only way that we can convince them that it's not fixed yet is to hear from all of you as to what you're seeing each day in the field when you're dealing with these entities. Social Security Administration kiosks, that's another one. Anybody visited a Social Security office in the last few years? No? Well, if you do, please let us know how it went. A lot of them have these touchscreen kiosks, and they expect blind people to go in front of a room full of people, give out your Social Security number, your address, your phone, everything. Kind of a recipe for identity theft, right? So we need those kiosks to be accessible. And the only way we're going to get there is if we have enough information to get there. Please share the word that we need the surveys. Now, say again, Bonnie. Yeah, actually, good point. I don't have that on my list, but you're going to vote soon or you have voted soon, I hope. I filled out two surveys because I tried to do the mail-in voting, which Illinois does have. That didn't work well because the application was inaccessible to apply for an accessible ballot. Kind of an irony there. We had a CAPTCHA. So I went in person. So I filled out the survey for both. There's a survey for those of you who do mail-in balloting, which I guess is not available at all in Alaska, but you all should fill out the survey for in-person voting. Under the Help America Vote Act, we keep track and we track election to election to see what the trends show. So please fill out the survey. It gives us ammunition with the legislator when we're trying to change things. All right, I want to talk about legislation for a minute. Is Bill in the room? Okay, so the top legislative priority for us right now is a bill that was introduced recently by Tammy Duckworth, and I'm going to pick on Bill specifically. Can you tell us what that's called? I'm hearing parts of it. Yeah, so it's the website and application and software application. I can't even say it. Website and application, Software Application Accessibility Act. Software Application Accessibility Act. The name changed as we went along, so it was kind of a trick question, Bill. And that will authorize the Department of Justice and the Equal Opportunity Commission to develop regulations for websites and mobile applications. How many of you have encountered something that's inaccessible? Every day. Every day. Yeah, that's probably the better question. You're right. But if we can pass that bill that was introduced by Tammy Duckworth and, incidentally, Congressman Casey, so it's in both houses, then maybe we can stop encountering so much that's inaccessible. One of our other priorities is, and then we have almost passed this before, Access Technology Affordability Act, ATAA. Okay, anybody know what this does? Any group. Kate gives you a refundable tax credit too. So if you buy technology, then you can, access technology. That's okay. This is why I ask questions. It keeps people paying attention. This is why I do it. Otherwise, people kind of tune out all this legislation, right? Especially since a lot of them sound alike. So the ATAA would allow us to buy technology. And even if you're not a taxpayer, it's a tax credit which means that you could file your taxes and get money back. So you spend $2,500 on, say, a Brando or any kind of access tech. Then you file a tax return, and that's a tax credit. So you're going to get money back or money off the taxes you owe. No, not yet. Which is true of most of our legislation. I mean, Remember how long it took to pass the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act? Debbie Stein started talking to me about that when I was still state president in Illinois way back in 2006. Now you're taxing my knowledge. I think it passed 2006, about 10 years later. Somebody look that up for me, make sure I've got it right. I know it took forever to get passed, but that's true of much legislation. Marrakesh Treaty. That one, Scott LaBarre worked on that for at least 15 years before that treaty was passed. And it is the only treaty, incidentally, that deals with blindness. The only one. So another priority that we have is a bill that would deal with medical devices. So non-visual, let's see how it goes. Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act. This would deal with class one, class two medical devices. So we're talking about things like glucometers, the pumps that can deliver insulin. We're talking about the baby monitors that sometimes go home with people. We had a woman in Illinois who couldn't take her baby home from the hospital. She's a single mom and her baby needed one of these monitors. And there was no way for her to independently operate the monitor. And it's so silly because you could have just put some kind of audio in this monitor and she'd been able to take her baby home. So we've got to get that passed. And then the final of our top five priorities has been around a long time. Anybody know what 14C does? I know. We need to do it nationwide, though. Yeah, so there's an exception in the Fair Labor Standards Act at the federal level that says that you can pay disabled people sub-minimum wages. Now, you're lucky because it doesn't apply in Alaska anymore. And incidentally, we've almost got rid of it in Illinois. The governor will not let anybody who gets state contracts have a 14C. So that's a recent change in Alaska. Kudos to Alaska. Seriously, kudos to Alaska. We need to get rid of 14C nationwide, though. So the Transformation to Competitive Employment Act is our fourth priority in terms of legislation right now. I'm going to turn for a minute to our programs that come out of the Blindness Initiatives Department. And let's do this. Can anybody name me at least one program that's administered by Blindness Initiatives? White cane. Mm-hmm. Free white canes. Free white canes. Every 6 months, you can order free white cane. Yeah. Ringing A. Bell. Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning. And even if you don't have an in-person Bell Academy in a state, you still can participate in the in-home Bell Academies that we've been doing. That's one thing that's come out of the pandemic that is really positive. We can reach kids in very, very rural areas if they have internet access. So Bell is probably the biggest one that you think of right now. We have some childhood programs. Anybody know what the Braille Reading Pals program does? There's a cute stuffed animal. It's not always a teddy bear. Cute stuffed animal and a book. And the idea is to get parents reading with their kids and put Braille in front of kids as early as possible. Early Explorers does the same thing with little white canes. Love the pictures of kids with little white canes, right? I even gave my granddaughter one and she's excited. Santa letters. Now those are now winter letters because not everybody has Santa Claus come to their house. So last year that program expanded exponentially when we took the letters and you can choose between a Santa letter, which is the traditional "Hi, I'm Santa Claus" letter, and a winter letter, which simply celebrates the changing seasons. What do you all do when you want to buy a cane? You don't want the free ones. What do you do? Yes. Independence Market is another program that comes out of Blindness Initiatives, right? And the idea with the Independence Market, and you should check out the catalog. By the way, e-commerce is coming soon. I know you've heard that before, but it really is coming soon. My favorite products from the Independence Market are some of the cooking things. I mean, just simple measuring cups that either have Braille or raised lines. Anybody get the Kenneth Jernigan cornbread kit? Well, you better get them because I think we're running out.
Oh, I've gotten a Braille mug. That's half an hour. It's the Braille fidget thing. So it's in my hand right now.
Yeah, I love passable things. Sorry, hang on. All right, now, all of these programs and initiatives, all of our legislation doesn't happen for free. So I'm going to take just a couple minutes to talk to you about outreach programs, which you can participate in to help fund our movement. One of them is PAC. What does PAC stand for? PAC plan. I like that. Oh, who that was, but that was clever. All right. Sorry. I heard pre-authorized contributions, right? What's the minimum that you can give a month? $5. Is that your PAC coordinator, Bonnie? Whoever's answering these. Charlie, are you the PAC coordinator?
No.
Just knows all about it. All right. So, and actually, that's part of why I put PAC at the top of my list. We have very few people on PAC in Alaska. Well, okay. So I want to urge all of you to consider going on PAC. I know that $5 a month, if you spread over a month, is not too much. There are people in Illinois who are on SSI who are on PAC. So for $5 a month that gets directly from your credit card, your debit card, or your bank account, you can help us by giving us unrestricted money so that when you want to get an Uber or Lyft, we're fighting for your right. Now, there's another program that's going on right now that I want to urge you all to think about contributing to. Anybody paid attention to the Vispero? This quarter is matching how much money? Up to $50,000. So if you give to our national organization this month or next, you can double your money. And all you have to do is go to nfb.org/donate or call our national center. Now say it all with me, 410-659-9314. And okay, do it again, 410-659-9314. 9314. And I want you to add to it extension 2430. That's the donation line. Extension 2430. It does ring into me eventually. It starts with Sonia, Carrie Lynn, Anna. And if they don't answer, then it rings to me. Because we'll all help you give us money. Yes. Yeah, you can. So 20. Yes, ma'am. Jackie? Well, so the best way to find all of this information, start at nfb.org if you have internet access. Otherwise, the number that I've given out so far it's all been the same, 410-659-9314. And the reason I keep chanting it like that is because I want everybody to have it memorized by the time I'm done. So let me talk to you for a minute about Dreammaker Circle. Let me get your attention for a second, please. Kevin.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me get your attention for a second. Thanks. So we've talked about PAC. Let me just take questions for a minute because I think a lot of people are answering questions. Who's got a question over here on my left? Yes, ma'am. Yep. Okay. Yeah. And say your name, please. I'm sorry. Katie. Right. Right. So let's divert and answer some of the questions, right? So how challenging is it to learn Braille as a sighted person? Is that what they're asking? I think that I have seen sighted people learn Braille. If you're going to do it, I would urge you to bite the bullet and learn it tactily. Because the problem that I see with most sighted readers, especially when you're reading interpoint Braille, which is on both sides of the paper, is that you're seeing both sets of dots at the same time. And Braille is not meant to be read like that. So I think the reason that some people who are sighted struggle with Braille more than people who are blind is because you're trying to read it with your vision. Wear some sleep shades, and I don't think it would be any more challenging than it would be for any of us. Now, Braille, like anything, in general, and this is an overgeneralization because I know lots of exceptions. You know, the younger you learn it, the better off you are, kind of like foreign language. You can do it later, but it may take a little bit longer. Next question, because I heard, Kevin, what were you answering back there?
Oh, I was talking
with Well, and that's a great segue to my next section. So let me talk to you.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, please. Jackie?
Microphone for the
yeah, video. Let's do that for Zoom. And thank you for the reminder, Bonnie. Yes, we do.
My name is Jackie.
Uh-huh.
And about Braille, where I used to work, I'm not going to say the name, but one of my duties was to teach small kids Braille.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to do it with Penny. So there is ways that you can teach Braille that are really simple.
And you know what I like? So at National Convention, Conchita Hernandez always does maybe she does it at Washington Seminar. Anyway, she does a salsa lesson and she uses the 6-dot Braille cell to teach salsa. My husband and I are avid dancers. I hope Amelia's back today because I want to talk to her about dance more. But you can teach Braille in so many ways and it doesn't need to be complicated. It really doesn't. All right. Anybody else have a question or comment? All right. Let me talk to you about DMC and then I'm going to segue into plugging into us, which will really segue into the question that Kevin was answering. So Dreammaker Circle is what? Great. Yes, it's our legacy society. Okay. So our legacy society is a place where you can give after you pass. And there's lots of ways to do this. You can call me and we can go into detail. But if you're interested in exploring ways to give to the next generation so that our kids have a better future than we maybe had, please give me a call. And the main number is 410-659-9314. Bonnie's got it. Good job. All right. And as Kevin pointed out, you can hit zero and just ask for Patty Chang. All right. Now, I want to talk to you about ways to plug in. And this is an invitation to all of you. It really ties back. Kevin's saying, well, we'll give you all this information. Okay. So I want to talk to you about the myriad ways that you can connect with the National Federation of the Blind. And there are lots of them. Our flagship magazine is called... How come I only hear Bonnie? Everybody should know that one. Our flagship magazine is what?
The Braille Monitor.
Good. I heard Zoom too. Good. So the Braille Monitor you can sign up for by calling 410-659-9314. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Can people tell us how you can get the Braille Monitor? What are the formats?
You can get a flash drive. You can go to the website.
Flash drive, website.
Email.
Podcast.
Alexa. No, I haven't seen it on Siri. Oh, good point. Good point. Yes, definitely. So what Bonnie just pointed out is Siri could play it through Apple Podcasts, and she's right, it could. Now, you guys missed a couple. Of course, it's available in Braille. I haven't heard that yet. And it's available in large print. Okay. It is available on your favorite podcast provider. So if you want to sign up to get the Braille Monitor in Braille or on a flash drive, then you call the National Center. Any other way you can sign yourself up just by going and getting it. It's on the web at nfb.org. It's in your favorite podcast. Now, we also have a podcast stream that's called The Nation's Blind Podcast. The Nation's Blind Podcast. Yes, Melissa Riccobono and Anil Lewis, who we all know and love. Podcast. Chris Danielson sometimes does the podcast too.
Oh, your microphone died, Patty.
All right, testing the mic. You have to make sure you don't touch this mic.
Sorry about that.
I think I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that I just asked Siri to play the Braille Monitor, and it's a big podcast app. I said Apple Podcast.
All right, now we are on social media. What the latest thing that we've done is we have TikTok. TikTok has been great for us. Some of our TikTok videos, Karen Anderson did one just showing how to use the Slate and Silas. They got millions of views within a day. Millions of views within a day. We're on Facebook, the National Federation of the Blind. We're on Twitter. Twitter is NFB_voice. So you can connect in through the blog, through the magazine. And then finally, this is one that I want you all to sign up for, because this is a great place to start if you're just connecting in. If you have internet access, we have a monthly newsletter. Maybe I'm partial because I get to edit it, but it's called Imagineering Our Future. Imagineering Our Future. So if you go to nfb.org, you can sign up for Imagineering Our Future. If you see me this weekend, I can sign you up on my computer really fast. But that is a good place to start plugging in to what's going on through the National Federation Line. And I would urge all of you to plug in one way or another. Okay, didn't keep really good score, but I think undoubtedly group one between Kevin and Bonnie gets the bragging rights here. Yeah, she did. All right, so I think we'll just spread around the bragging rights, right? Okay, now, does anybody have any question to ask me at all or any comment they'd like to make? I'm here all weekend, but please, if you're thinking about it, somebody else is too. Kevin wants to know who to contact for PAC. Good question. Number one, you can call. Do it with me, please. 410-659-9314. Yay. All right. We did it. One of my goals. you need to ask for Danielle. Danielle Harden will manage the pack. But You can also email pac@nfb.org, or you can do this totally independently. Now we have an online form, which is at nfb.org/pac. So if you're confident with internet forms, this one's pretty simple. nfb.org/pac. Great question, Kevin. Thank you. Other questions?
Patty?
Yes. Wait.
The microphone is back. It had to go get a battery replaced. So,
oh, great. Now I've been trying to repeat. That's good to know. Thank you. Other questions, comments, concerns?
Katie.
Give me your name, please. Sorry. Dorothy. Let me get you a mic, Dorothy. We want to make sure the Zoom people are participating.
Sorry, I couldn't get that down fast enough. That was NAB/PACT.
So you want the PAC information?
Yes.
So it's NFB, like National Federation Blind, .org/PAC. PAC. My Chicago talk fasting comes out. I talk fast like Midwesterners do. The phone number again is 410-659-9314. For PAC, I would just press 0 and ask for Danielle. 0 and ask for who you want. Anybody else have questions or comments? I mean, I really am here to answer all your questions and to try, at least try to. I don't have all the answers, but.
Katie. I have a comment. You were talking about the different ways of connecting in with the NFB, and one thing popped in my head was the presidential release that's every month.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're all going to conspire not to tell President Riccobono that I forgot to talk about that, okay? Yeah, this is a conspiracy now. So we do have a monthly presidential release, and that's our way of having our president reach out to all of our chapters and our individual members in a very, you know, personalized way. So we've been taking this and doing it live. So last month we did it California. Before that, we did it in Mississippi. And it often occurs at our national headquarters, which is in Baltimore. The president for, 30, 40 minutes will tell you all the latest happenings, and then he takes questions. So if you have questions, you can send them in ahead of time, and he'll question from any of us on the release. And if he doesn't get to it, our comms team will get to it. But thank you. That's embarrassing. It should be fresh on my mind. What's it called? So you were in the group with Michael Levitsky, Illinois treasurer. Yeah. She's looking it up. Delivering the goods. That's cute. Now, delivering the goods.
I participated in the
Bungee. Mine was the M&M group.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what group doesn't have M&M? Well, they all do, but we must have eaten more than most because we got called the M&M group. Yes, you were at the release. Yes, yes. All right. Does anybody else think of anything that I may have missed or that we should talk about? Okay, I'll be with you tonight, and I'll get to tell you my story. Thank you very much, Bonnie.